deep down, when you look in the mirror, what do you really, really, really care about? How do you want to be remembered? When you leave this earth, how do you want people to speak of you? What do you want people to remember about you? When you are done with your working life, when you retire, what do you want the people that you worked with most closely to say about you, about the qualities that you have, about the things that you cared about? If you are a parent, what would you want your kids to say about what kind of dad you were or what kind of mom you were when they grow up? That's the kind of questions we have to be asking ourselves to figure out, what do I stand for? What's my mission statement? What is it that makes me want to keep going? How is it I want to contribute to life, to other people, to society? What kind of impact do I want to make at the end of the day? What we value is not going to change. The things that you deeply care about in your heart of hearts, the things that are you're truly passionate about, the kind of impact you want to make on others, on life, they're going to be the same today as they are in 5 years. If everyone could accept you for whatever choice you made, what choice would you make? What are you about? What do you really care about? I, at a very early age, learned about the power of helping others and the power of suffering. Growing up, I have a brother who, at the time when I was growing up, was experiencing a very severe mental illness, and that created great suffering for me and for my family. And I found deep within that, and of course didn't have the words at the time, I was a young kid, deep within that, how much suffering could transform into being helpful, to my family members, and into having compassion for the suffering that he was experiencing. I could have grown up a very angry young man, having to go through what I did as an adolescent, as a teenager. And so I think it really comes down to that, are you willing to answer the call and move toward what's inside that's painful? Because in that, there is something bittersweet. And that bittersweet is you find, what is your calling? What has meaning in your life? What is it that's going to move you forward? Well, the truth is, as long as we have the capacity for language, as long as we have that ability to speak, to think, to feel, to have physical pain in our bodies, we're going to have demons. All of us are going to have demons. So when I talk about internal demons, I'm talking about negative thoughts, negative things we might tell ourselves, how we might be critical of ourselves or of others. Or I'm talking about ways in which we have thoughts that are depressive thoughts or anxious thoughts or fearful thoughts. I'm also talking about physical pain. You know, people have injuries. They could be sports injuries. They could be injuries from accidents or chronic injuries that they've been living with for many, many years. So it's the physical part. And it's also just what we would call emotions, you know, sadness, anxiety, and so forth. And so though there, I want to add to that memories. So we may have painful memories, you know, the losses you've experienced in your life. And so when you take memories and thoughts and emotions and physical sensations, they can all be the demons that we carry around with us. And some of us have been carrying them around with us for years. And it's a question of, what are you going to do with that? Are you going to try to push them away, or are you going to try to let them be there inside you? And that's really the choice that I'm talking about. It's a fundamental choice that underlies the secret to self-control. Because what happens is, when we try to push away, avoid, control the internal demons, do you know what happens? They get bigger.
Yeah.
They get bigger. And there's some powerful science behind this, that when you try not to have something, you have more of it. The more you don't want the demons, the more that you have them. And I've talked about this in different ways. One of the ways is this idea of a tug of war. It's like you're in a tug of war with these demons. And the more you pull, the more the demons pull back. And you go on and on and on. And eventually, you don't win this battle. You might temporarily get a little respite. You know, you have a drink, or you use some drugs, or you get into something really, really intensely. Maybe you work out really, really, really hard, so you don't have to face this internal experience. But what happens is, you can get injured, you can get hung over, you can have an accident, you can hurt your marriage, you can hurt your relationships. And what happens is, the demons eventually will come back to you. And then what are you going to do? And so there is an alternative to that. And that's really the hope. That's part of the message I wanted to share today, because this hope comes from a science of behavior change that's really, really exciting right now, that has a lot of promise for helping people live more effective lives. So when you try to suppress your internal demons, your thoughts, your emotions, sensations, your memories, if we're talking, say, about alcohol or drug use, you get addicted. You're spending a lot of your time getting a chance to use the drug or the alcohol. You can end up having a car accident. You can end up blacking out. You can end up destroying your marriage. You can end up losing your job. You can end up physically injuring yourself. For people who get depressed, who don't want to think about how bad their lives are or how unhappy they are with their lives, they can spend their time in bed. They can waste a lot of time going online, reading things, looking at things, getting on social media. They can get involved in watching a lot of pornography and not engaged in life. Their lives get really small. And that the consequences are vast. The consequences are almost imaginable in so many different ways. And ultimately what we're talking about is that your life isn't moving forward, is stagnating, or is moving backwards. All the things that matter to you, family, friends, your work, your body, your spirituality, they get locked off, they get sealed off, and your life gets very, very small. And so the consequences of avoidance are gigantic. They're huge. For some, it even means suicide, because they just can't bear the pain of the demons. It's being willing to remember. It's being willing to remember and be aware of, what is that memory that I've been not wanting to have? And it could be So it depends on what is that thing you don't want to have to notice. So that's awareness is number one. Now, someone might say, I don't want to be aware of that. I don't want to be aware of that. That's painful. Well, then there's some earlier work you want to do on understanding the consequences. Because that question you asked me earlier, you know, what happens when people avoid? Well, you got to get in touch with those consequences. You got to take stock. You got to take inventory. Just like if you're running a company and you've got inventory in your warehouse, you've got to take stock of what's the cost of you avoiding? What's the cost in terms of those areas of your life that matter? We live inside our heads. And so we're always thinking we caused this. But the point is to see, if you see outside your head and all of the events that have happened in your life, you'll understand that kindness, it is warranted. There's a place for kindness. The final thing I want to say about kindness is if you can develop gratitude, it's very good way to you to develop kindness to yourself and to others. When you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night, can you think of one thing you're grateful for? Certainly you're alive. And what else? What are the things in your life, the gifts in your life? It's very hard for someone to state what they're grateful for while also feeling self-loathing, while also feeling angry at themselves. It's very, very difficult to have those two go together. And so it really creates a space for you to have kindness when you can express gratitude for something in your life. And it begins to just shift the direction, because you know all change is incremental. Nothing happens immediately. It begins to shift the direction of how you begin to look at yourself, because how you look at yourself is very important for guiding what you end up doing in your life each day. Let go of trying to control the emotions, the thoughts, the sensations, and the memories, because they cannot be controlled. They run on their own schedule. They run their own way. The more you try to compress them, the more you try to control them, the worse it gets. It's like playing whack-a-mole at the arcade. You know, you get a thought, you try to tamp it down. You get a feeling, you try to tamp it down. You get a pain in your knee, you try to ignore it. And like the game whack-a-mole, every time you whack one, another one's going to pop up, because that's how language-based minds work. That's how us human beings work. And so you can't, if you keep trying to control these uncontrollable things, you are going to continue suffering. You are going to be having a really, really difficult time in your life. And so the secret to self-control is letting go of trying to control those things, because eventually they will actually begin to fade. They're not going to disappear, but they're going to fade to the background. You want to put the spotlight on what matters in your life, the things you can control, things that you use with your hands and your feet, whether you go to the gym, whether you're running, whether you are going to show up for the interview or write the resume or be able to try to connect with someone that you're interested in or repair the relationship. It's what you say, it's what you do with your hands and your feet. Those are the things you can control. And so the other side of the secret to self-control is focus on the things that you actually have control over and letting go of those things that you do not have control over. Whether you're 25 years old or you're 45 years old, it is never, never too late to live your life. It's never too late to do the things that really, really matter to you on a deep level. The truth is, we have much, much more time than we ever imagined. Taking committed actions doing actions that matter to you a little bit each day, that's how you begin to smash your view of yourself and begin to see that even at 25, 45, 55, you can shift directions of your career and you can begin to do the things that really, really are fulfilling in your work life.